from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bird in motion, pitch play to the right. Working off a block. Finding the end zone as he lunges over the goal line for a 5-yard touchdown run. Just like his papa, Frank Gore Jr., into the end zone for the touchdown. Brown under center, takes the snap. Gibb goes to Hamler, and he's in for a 1-yard touchdown run. KJ Hamler's first rushing touchdown since his days at Penn State.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Happy final week before the NFL regular season gets rolling. The preseason is in the books. You heard some of the clips there, some of the highlights from this weekend against Carolina. It's Jeremy and Joe. Jeremy is off today. Had some fun this weekend. Got to see a little bit of the game. Watched some of it back later. Was tough. Josh, were you doing something during the game?
Yeah, I was just checking the score on my phone. I was helping my buddy move into his apartment, and every once in a while we'd see, there's a touchdown. Oh, there's a, like, we saw the Frank Gore touchdown.
So you were more glued to, even if it was only on your phone, the Bills-Panthers game more than Georgia Tech and Florida State?
Oh, we saw that.
Because that game was going on at the same time.
Well, we saw it was getting close, and then we were like, maybe we should take a break here and turn this on. And then we fumbled with the internet for a while, couldn't get it going, and then by that time the field goal already happened. But
yeah,
what an ending to that game.
Yeah, that whole game, the whole game was good. From the get-go, I thought it was going to be a shootout because, and I'm talking about Georgia Tech and Florida State here, that game started before Bills and Panthers over in Ireland. First college football game of the year. Seemed like a pretty good matchup. You got a Florida State team that was ranked just outside the top 10, and the pregame panel, there's Saban picking them to win the ACC. Like, good team. They got beat. They got beat, and I thought they weren't the better team in the game. This was not like upset city. It was just two close teams playing a college football game that came down to the final play. And that game, man, real quick on that game, that was very close to a catastrophic mess by Georgia Tech. They had that game tied. They were driving into field goal range. Just got to wind the clock down to kick a last-second field goal. And the center and the quarterback, like, they've got to run two more plays, wind the clock, kick the field goal, game over, you win. And if they would have made the field goal, center and quarterback exchange does not go well, fumble. The ball is on the ground, almost could lose it. Quarterback gets to it, though, just in time, and they're able to get a few yards back, and they kick the field goal to win. So you had a banger for a nice college football opener, and that was happening at the same time, so I had both games on. I went, though, we were with some buddies, had a fantasy draft weekend out in Ellicottville, which was a lot of fun. Love my team. Got a bill on that team that I had not drafted a single time anywhere else all offseason that I want to get to expectations and kind of the fantasy landscape for one certain bill. Could do that a little bit later, though. So we're all watching the game. We agreed as a group. Georgia Tech, Florida State gets the big TV. Bills, Panthers, if you want it, put it up on your phone. It's like I had it on my phone. That felt appropriate, right? The Bills were playing guys that I don't expect to make the team, and I don't think a lot of people think we'll make the team. We'll get into a lot of that also with Sal Capaccio coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. So stay tuned for Sal when he comes on, because we'll get into, you know, today some 53-man roster projections and who's going to make the team, what the numbers look like at each position. That is going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow is cutdown day. So one more day, and we'll have the Bills roster mostly for the start of the regular season against Arizona, which is 13 days from today. Let's go. 9 days from Bills and from Ravens and Chiefs, I believe. 9 days. No, is that right? 10 days. 10 days. 10 days from Ravens and Chiefs. Football right around the corner. You can smell it. The fall-like weather we had last week might have made it seem like it was closer than it may appear. And then it got warm again this weekend. It got hot even. And this week looks like it'll be pretty good weather-wise. So a lot to get to today on today's show. If you got a question about any certain player, about their status on the 53-man roster, whether we think they're going to make the team or miss the team, or you want to make a campaign or a case for somebody making the team, or just a thought, 803-0550 is the phone number to get involved this morning. One other thing I do want to get to over the course of today's show, Drake May looked awesome again in New England. Preseason pledge, got to write it down. Preseason pledge, but he looked pretty good. He looked good. We'll get to that. Get to Drake May a little bit later on as well. Who stood out? Who stood out in this Carolina game? Frank Gore Jr.? We finally arrived at, the third, fourth, fifth string running back in the preseason, piling up the yardage. And now, you know, he's somebody that you might have a question about. Will Frank Gore Jr. make the team? 18 carries, 101 yards in this game, one touchdown. Saw him go down late in the game. I guess he said after he doesn't think it's all that serious. They put KJ Hamler in at running back. And my initial reaction to that was, oh, look at this. We've been wondering who could be the Curtis Samuel replacement. Who's the guy in the receiver room that you can do a bunch of things with? Line up in the backfield, perhaps. Jet sweeps. And oh, who's that lined up in the backfield? It was KJ Hamler. Then realizing, oh, wait a minute. That's maybe because they just don't have another running back available that they want to put in. And actually, that could mean that might actually be the opposite of, oh, this is good for him. My initial reaction was Hamler, put him on the team. Could do a bunch of different things. Versatile, put him in the backfield. It went well. 3 for 21 and a touchdown on his 3 carries. 2 of them were at the goal line. So he didn't have a lot of room to operate for more than 21 yards, 18 on one of his rushes. But really, when you look at a game like Saturday, Hamler's maybe a good example of this. Oh, he's playing running back at the end of the game. That might not necessarily be a good sign for his status making the team. It might actually be a bad sign. It might be, oh, look, who they're willing to put out there at the end of a preseason finale. And I think Darrington Evans was standing there on the sidelines. I don't know if he had taken his pads off or if he was available to go in. They just didn't want him to go in because he's either going to make the team or he's going to make the practice squad, maybe more likely. So I don't know if that's a good sign for some of these guys, that they were in the game and that they were in the game late. Deion Kane is another one. Receiver they signed a couple weeks ago, veteran guy, big contributor in the XFL, I believe. And he had a couple nice catches, 3 for 28 in this game, but wait, he was in the fourth quarter? Just, I don't know how many people you would expect to be playing in the fourth quarter of the final preseason game and expect, oh yeah, that guy's got a shot at making the roster. I don't know what to take out of that game for the 53 other than everybody's kind of in my opinion, a holding pattern. I Joe Andreessen, for instance, big name, big story, I should say, going into that game and going into the weekend. UB product and was awesome against the Steelers last week. Has had a great spring ever since being a tryout at rookie minicamp. Kept building up and building up and building up to a point where going into this week, it was, I think he's on the roster. Just don't screw it up. And, I mean, did he do that? I don't think he was as good as he was against Pittsburgh. Did he screw it up, though? I don't know that I would say that either. I think he might be someone that right now I would also say probably close, but I might still put him on the roster. I might still put him on. He might be one of those last guys, though, that would get on. Maybe they try to sneak him onto the practice squad now. I don't know. But there were a couple of plays in coverage that didn't look great for Andreessen early in that game against Carolina. Is there a built-in excuse a little bit? Sure, because the Bills had their third stringers in, really. Second and third stringers. And Carolina played a little bit with their starting offense. We saw Bryce Young. We saw like Andreessen out there on that first drive and the rest of the Bills' defenders. Who are they out there against? They're out there against Deontay Johnson and Adam Thielen. And wait a minute, is that Jordan Matthews running around out there? That was a sight to behold. Who, raise your hand if you're like me and you went, Jordan Matthews still plays football? Wait a minute, you mean the guy, the Eagle receiver that the Bills traded for and played like half a year here and made headlines when he said there was only like one thing to do in Buffalo, and we don't need to get into what that one thing was, but that guy is still running around out here in the NFL. I was so surprised. I can't tell you. I'm into these deep fantasy leagues where there are benches. Some of them, you know, a couple of them, maybe like two of the leagues I'm in, have like 20-man benches. Just unnecessarily too deep of a fantasy league. There's nothing available. And almost anybody that's got a roster spot on offense in the league, like you're looking at in this league. So I'm pretty familiar with the bottom of depth charts. I did not know Jordan Matthews was still running around out here. And playing tight end, by the way. He's playing tight end. Jordan Matthews played for the Bills in 2017 under Sean McDermott. He played, man, 10 games. It was really 10 games. 10 games, 36 targets, 25 receptions, 282 yards and a touchdown. I have lost his career track ever since. I guess just looking at his stats, he went back to Philadelphia and then to San Francisco and then back to Philadelphia and then back to San Francisco. And now he's in Carolina at age 31. But he also hasn't played a football game in now 5 years. So I think he's just running around on practice squads out there, I believe. I mean, he has to be. He's just inactive every game for the last 4 years. But there he was. He was on Carolina last year. He's on the Niners the year before that. Like, the Niners had him for 2.5 seasons. And to my numbers here, he never played. He never played a snap. He played 14 snaps, actually, for the Niners in 2020. And a couple of snaps for him on special teams. There it is. That's why I didn't see him playing. 19 special team snaps last year for Carolina. All right, Jordan Matthews still going in the league. So, all right. That was, I was so surprised that I saw that on Saturday. But as for the Bills, one thing that I was really focused on, locked in on Saturday, was the receiver battle. And what could we get at the bottom of the position group? And so really where I'm going to start today is where we've ended up here. Because that position has been the subject matter for the Bills for most of the offseason. Really since the day after the Chief game. I mean, going all the way back. That is Trent Sherfield starting for you at wide receiver in a playoff game. It is, hey, what's going on with Diggs? Not off the field. What's going on with Diggs on the field? Why is he getting all these targets, and why has the production evaporated? Shakir was nice. Like, I wasn't wondering about Shakir. He was nice, and he made some big plays in that Chief game. But that position just looked like a shell of itself from what it had been in the past. So, of course, with that, and then it being magnified by, well, Gabe Davis leaves in free agency, and then they trade Diggs away, and the draft was so loaded with all these receiver prospects that it was natural. It was natural. This was going to be the offseason of the wide receiver for the Bills.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It was the offseason of receiver. And here we sit. The day after, or 2 days after, I should say, the preseason finale, the day before the final 53-man roster cut. And how do we feel about where they've landed? How do we feel about not just the top end and really the guys that are going to play? Because right now, I guess that's kind of seems like it's set in stone. They have a top four. They absolutely have a top four of receivers. And really going back to when would they have signed Chase Claypool? Would that have been April? Maybe May? Maybe that was May after the draft. May, they signed Claypool. They signed MVS late, right? They had KJ Hamler in the building since January. They signed Mac Hollins. That was earlier than all of those. Well, not all of Hamler, I guess, was the earliest. But Hollins was their first free agent signing at the position once free agency opened. So Those are kind of the four. There were other bodies, but there were these lottery tickets, right? Lottery ticket here, lottery ticket there. I got a big, athletic, fast guy in Chase Claypool who had big numbers in his first 2 years in the NFL. Lottery ticket. Let me cross my fingers, hope I get lucky, because, hey, if Chase Claypool can keep his head on straight, that guy could play. We think that guy could play for them. So, lottery ticket there. I thought Hamler was a lottery ticket, and that's not over. He could make the team, I guess, tomorrow. I probably wouldn't bet it right now. But Hamler, making the case for that a month ago was, okay, well, he's a second-round pick, just like Chase Claypool was. And rookie year, all right, he didn't do much. He was all right, like 40 catches. And then, bam, heart condition. Knocks him out for the last, like, three seasons. Hasn't been able to get on the field. Even last year, when he was on the Colts practice squad and reading about his story there, how he was looking like he was about to get back on the field finally and get an opportunity, and his heart condition, like something popped up again with that, and he couldn't play. So what I have there is and he did have a knee injury along the way too. It wasn't just the heart thing. But what I have there is a guy that hasn't really played much football since 2020. That was 4 years ago. But, hey, second round pick, 5'9", really fast, small, shifty guy, can return kicks, lottery ticket. MVS, same thing. Now, I think he's interesting to get to with Sal a little bit later on, and just to evaluate MVS in general about if he's going to make the team, because we were questioning whether he would before the injury, but maybe the injury even helps him. Because of IR rules, or maybe just because what's developed elsewhere at the position. Samuel's injury too. MVS. They sign him. Played with two great quarterbacks, Rodgers and Mahomes, the only quarterbacks he's played with. A couple years ago, pretty good. 687, couple of touchdowns on 81 targets. Big part of the Chiefs offense 2 years ago. And 2 years before that, big part of the Green Bay offense. Led the league in yards per reception in 2020, that same year that Hamler played, in the same year that Claypool had a big year. MVS, late free agent signing that was still available. Lottery ticket? The Bills were taking their shots at these well-known players, even to most casual fans, known commodities, known names at least, that you were trying to see, hey, can I get lucky here? Can MVS look like the player that he was 2 years ago and 4 years ago in Kansas City, where he could beat you down the field with his speed and not the guy last year? Because the guy last year was the Chiefs begging for anybody at wide receiver to step up. Begging. Somebody please give Mahomes another body to throw at. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling, playing 16 of the 17 games, had 21 catches for 300 yards and one touchdown. Wasn't him. And could it have really been more disappointing for him? Since he signed with the Bills, could it have been more disappointing? MVS has a training camp that I thought was, you know, amongst their receivers, one of the weaker ones. He had drop problems early in the preseason, which is no new thing with him. That's been happening really his entire career. So between a training camp where, hey, listen, training camp is kind of the, hey, everybody looks great type of season. You kind of gotta work hard to find somebody that's not playing well or not having a great camp. And maybe MVS fits that bill. So, anyone feel great about... And now he's injured, right? Now he's injured with a neck injury. Anyone feel great about how that's gone? I don't feel like he is... going to make an impact this year on their receiver room. Maybe he makes the team. Claypool. Claypool's gone. And that never got off the ground. You had minicamp, and it was, you know, you saw some clips from the Buffalo media guys, and we heard from Sal, and we had talked to others like Bove and Matt Perino and others. Like, hey, how does Claypool look? When we talked to those guys and Sal in the spring, it was, man, he looks good, right? Shorts and t-shirt, not going against full contact, you know? He looks good because he's big and he's fast. And then training camp arrives, and it never got going. 2 days. He's injured. Bam. That's it. It's over. Just like that. Wow, okay. Someone that a lot of us have been thinking about for months, about maybe getting lucky that there's something there that the Bills could find, kind of a diamond in the rough, guy in his last legs in the league, maybe his last opportunity, playing like it's his last opportunity. When he's this talented, maybe he can get something. And just, you never even got to look at it. You never got to look at it. Who was the other? I mentioned Hamler. Hamler, you know, less of a lottery ticket maybe in most people's eyes than those guys, those two. But I like the idea. And again, maybe he never had a great shot at it. The return battle, Daquan Hardy, you know, has kind of, I think, taken that over. But doing some of the other stuff, the slot stuff, being a backup slot player, speed, gadgety type stuff. Again, Hamler maybe could still make it, but him being in there so late, doing the running back, I do wonder what that does for his odds. Right now, I feel like I wouldn't pencil him in. So for me, like, all right, I'm not expecting to get lucky there right now with their receiver room. And then you get to Mac Hollins. Hollins, you know, he's the one. He's the one that has emerged here. Where 2 months ago, it would have felt like, okay, it's Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, and everybody else. Now, it's Samuel, Shakir, Coleman, Hollins, and everybody else. He's the one who's jumped up. And maybe that was right there the whole time as a good prediction to happen. Because Claypool, what are you really banking on? You're banking on him to make a direct impact, catching the football, big plays, right? Explosive plays. And MVS, same thing. You're betting on a guy that is fast and a downfield weapon. Explosive. And Hamler, same thing. Explosive plays, being a part, get someone that you need to get the ball in the hands of to make him valuable to you. Maybe all three of those guys are like that. Their value to you, if everything goes right, is the ball being in their hands. And Hollins can do enough without the ball in his hands that allows him to join that top four or to make it a top four in the first place. But I don't feel like he's a lottery ticket guy anymore. I don't feel like he's, oh man, they really struck gold here with Mac Hollins. I mean, he'll be on the field. He'll do the dirty work. He'll block for them on run plays. He'll run routes down the field. He'll catch, I don't know, 20 passes this year, 30 passes this year. Maybe you think it's a little more than that, but he's never been an impact player, so I don't think I want to be expecting him to come in and catch a bunch of passes for me. In, you know, 8 years in the league, give or take. Actually, it's 6 seasons in the league. 6 seasons in the league. He's been a regular contributor on an offense once. Once. So I like the player. I love the character that he is, and I think he's going to do things for the Bills that they need at the receiver position, but he is not someone I'm expecting to be excited about once the games are rolling. And that's kind of the disappointment of today and even maybe tomorrow a little bit. We can get to Shavers and Shorter because I was hoping one of them would pop off in that final Carolina preseason game to go, all right, here we go. Shavers, you know, ending his strong summer with a bang because he had a nice camp, or Shorter, who had maybe a little bit of a late resurgence here, trying to make the team. Like, come on, show us something. The Bills attempted 27 passes in this game. They completed 22. And I know backup quarterbacks that weren't really slinging the ball down the field. They were a lot more safe, conservative throws. Not all, but some. And what'd you get from Shavers and Shorter? I got 4 catches combined. Both were 2 for 15. Shavers, you know, there's a touchdown there in the end zone where you probably want a better throw from Ben DiNucci, but I think I want Shavers to how about this? To make the team, does he have to make that catch? Maybe not. But to be someone that I'm excited about, you got a tough catch to make where you've got to extend in the end zone to make a catch for a touchdown, and you're a 6'4" undrafted guy. I need to be excited about you. I need you to make that catch. I need him to make that catch. Again, I don't know if he needs to make that catch to make the team, but that is, you got to really get after it. You got to, I mean, he kind of hesitates on his route, which maybe is why he doesn't get there. But even if he does, he's probably got to extend for it and make a tough catch. But man, I was hoping somebody over the last 2 months at the bottom of this receiver room was going to step up and make me and make fans a little bit more excited than I think what we have right now. Right now, I'm thinking they're back to where they were a year ago, 2 years ago, which was, man, if you get injuries at the top of your receiver room, I'm not all that hopeful about who would be coming in to replace him. 2 years ago, Gabe Davis got hurt. Who stepped in? Who started? Jake Kumerow, special teams guy. Not great. Last year, Gabe Davis gets hurt. Who steps in? Who starts? Trent Sherfield. For his career, pretty much a special teams guy. Didn't feel great about it. This year, somebody gets hurt. Well, I mean, the special teams guy now, maybe, you know, Hollins, I think, is more of a little bit more of an offensive player than those two, but he's maybe a starter right now. But if somebody gets hurt in the receiver room this year, who steps up? I don't know how much better the Bills are, even at the bottom end of their room, than they were the last couple of years. And I was trying to be hopeful that they were going to be better, at least depth-wise. And I don't think that's come to fruition. 803-0550 is the phone number. You think I'm wrong? Is there somebody in the receiver room that has stood out to you more so that has you a little bit more excited? Well, we'll break it down. Who's going to make the roster? I want to go around position by position and see who we think is going to make it. Sal's going to be coming on at 8 o'clock. Get to Drake May. Drake May has had a nice preseason, and he really capped it off, I think, in a strong way in the last, I think that game was yesterday. Stay tuned. Jody Biasi, Jeremy White is off today, welcoming your phone calls at 803-0550. We are 10 days from the regular season opener. Stay tuned. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.